This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel.
I've got Jeff Scruggs and Henry Rose, CEO, COO of Scruggs Automotive. Something's coming soon here, right?
Yes, sir.
Can't wait.
Absolutely.
Glad to see you. Thanks, Henry, for being here. We're going to go out inside and see what this really neat new place is going to be like. And we're actually going to also show you a satellite location. Cleanliness is in the order. And it's very echoey in here, so hopefully all this sound is going to be right. But this is the customer waiting room. It's huge. I love the fact that you brought in a car here.
Thanks.
Does this have any special connection to you?
This is a customer's car. We do a lot of Jeep stuff now, but my history is lowrider stuff like this. So we're the only place in town that can fix cars like this anymore. So we get them in here once in a while.
So how do you tell the world that you can fix lowrider cars?
Through marketing, online presence, Instagram, all the typical new social media platforms.
So I guess if I was searching and scrolling through Facebook and I saw a car that was that low to the ground, I'd say, a place I could
100%,
go.
100%. That's why we have our Ford Bronco out there. That's going to be getting lettered up as well. It's all about presence and representing who we are.
Well, great company. Five locations, soon to be sixth. We're going to actually show you the sixth location because it's an annex to here. And the Scruggs Automotive corporate headquarters is here. Jeff's office, Henry's office, beautiful lunch and conference room. Things I really want to point out is in the future, very soon, the service advisors are going to be in this particular space over here. And I love what you did here, guys. Explain these.
Yeah, so our thought and presence behind this was kind of to move a little bit more into, I guess, the future. We're removing the counter, which kind of separates the service advisor from the customer. So it's no longer I'm on one side of the counter, Carm's on the other side. We'll actually be able to stand together and truly advise to our team members and to our clients as well what's going on. So our service advisors all have an iPad. I'll be able to explain to Carm what's going on. I advise you on this. And then when all that's kind of done, if it's a waiter and you're waiting, you have a beautiful kind of showroom here to sit down in, watch some TV, free Wi-Fi. We've got coffee over in the corner. A lot of this is still under construction, so there's still some more pieces that are coming in.
And Girl Scout cookies. Follow me. Check this out. My second most favorite cookie, Thin Mints. And this is going home with me later today. Hey, we're in a conference room here on Abbott Road, your fifth location. Is it a lunch room? Is it a corporate conference room? What's going on with this beautiful room?
It's a multifunction room. That's how I would describe it best. Whatever need it has, that's what we're currently using it for. So it's set up with a very large conference table. So when we have our manager meeting, our foreman meeting, which both happen on a monthly basis, as well as our finance meeting with our controller, her admin assistant, as well as my area manager, we're able to utilize this room for that purpose. We have a really nice castable TV with Apple TV capabilities to it, so we can stream everything right to it. No need to print out any pamphlets, if you will. Yeah. And then when we're not using it for that purpose, every single day for lunch, the team all breaks as a team and they break bread together. And we found that to be a huge morale booster, as well as just kind of helps with the camaraderie of the shop.
That's a great idea. Well, look, at Aftermarket Weekly, we do this every Tuesday. We have to thank our great partner, Dorman, for this great episode.
Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why do they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour.
Hey, we're back. Thanks, Dorman. This is episode 101. Interestingly enough, 100 was last week. If you're into education, if you're into anything like that, you know me. I get up on my soapbox and talk about internships and apprentices. Please go watch the 100th. My son and my daughter were both on it, and we interviewed all kinds of great teachers and students over at the Sweet Home Ready Academy. You owe it to yourself to watch it, and because you're going to want to start knocking on doors in school. So we're here at Scruggs. We're here to talk about cleanliness. I want you to be able to see what's going on in the shop. If you're nowhere near as clean as the back shop, because we already had a chance to see it, then I think you need to make it one of your most important jobs this year is to rally the troops, let them watch this episode, look around and say, why can't we be this clean and organized? But guys, Jeff, how's business?
Business is good, Carm. We've been growing and growing and growing the last couple of years. The last little bit has tapered down a little bit. Maybe it's some post-COVID, maybe it's some Russian war stuff, but we just counter that with marketing, with going out in the community more, talking to people more. So we've been able to counter that stuff and keep our average RO up, even though the car count's down a little bit, but it's working for us.
So do you guys play with the throttle, the marketing throttle at all?
Exactly, we do. We keep a very close eye on that, so we know if we've got to turn it up more, turn it down more.
And how do you judge that? Is it based on how far out the schedule is?
It's based on the schedule, and it's based on car count. So we know those KPIs, and we can track them and see what they look like and what they're trending and know when, and as well as your typical slow times, right?
Yeah.
Back to school, right after Christmas, that sort of stuff. You always see a dip, and we can market out through that.
So Henry's your integrator.
Correct.
And you sweat the numbers every day?
By sweat, if you mean do I get worried about them? No, because we're constantly monitoring them. We're staying on top of them. But do I look at them? Absolutely. Every single day, I look at them, not so much on a granular level daily, more like weekly, monthly, quarterly, and then yearly. And then I do report directly to Jeff with those what those numbers are. How is the ebb and flow going?
And I'm glad you said, no, I don't sweat them every day, because there's a lot of people out there that do. Mm-hmm. And they may do that because they really don't know how to fix them once they see them. And I think that's, you know, one of the great things is, okay, if this is not right where we want it to be, then what lever do we pull or push?
Jeff and I both agree upon, and I definitely got it from Jeff, is we do the right thing. It's our company motto. So at the end of the day, if I did the right thing, and I know I did everything I could to do the right thing, then I don't have to worry about what I did in that day.
I can't wait to show you this place. We're going to give you a tour, because that's what Aftermarket Weekly is all about. But the concentration here is about cleanliness. But before we go and take a look at the shop, guys, why is cleanliness such an important part of your business?
My take on that is I take it back to 10 years ago where we weren't this clean. And we would have discussions with our techs. Hey, guys, you got to clean this up. We got to make this look good. And it was always, that's impossible. You can't have a place that does as much as we do looking this good, you know, not unless you're going to hire a team of cleaners, you know. No, it's possible.
So you had pushback from your people?
Always, yeah.
Okay.
Whenever you try to do a big change like that.
Warning sign.
Yeah, there's always pushback, but it is possible. You know, we do a ton of volume out of this place with a very minimal crew, and we keep it really clean, and that shows in the mindset of these guys. Every day, you can just see they're happier to be here than they would be in a dirty environment.
Weren't you telling me that you did an interview with a couple of technicians and you showed them off this place, and one of the reasons that they came here was because of how clean and organized it was?
It's more than just a few. Nearly everyone who comes through here, their reaction is just, wow, so you're not open yet. And it's just like, no, we're open. We just finished a full production day today, or we're in the middle of a production day today. Yeah. This is just the norm, and everyone's kind of blown away by it. Really, what I kind of give our credit to on our cleanliness, and shout out to my mom for this, because since I was a kid, I was told this, if you're always cleaning, you're never cleaning. So whenever you're doing something, clean up after yourself. It takes 4 or 5 seconds to do. Guess what? You don't have to spend 45 minutes at the end of the day sweeping out your entire bay, because you've been on top of it all throughout the day.
If you're always cleaning, you're never cleaning.
Correct.
And let that sink in a moment. I get it now. Mm-hmm. I had to think that through. Very
yep.
good. You may be wondering, well, the place isn't open to the public yet, but what's going on here is a lot of fleet work. they're getting ready to move it to their sixth location, and then that once they do that, it'll be open to the public. So what's really interesting, and so much great success to you, Jeff, is that you were able to find this building, you leased it. It's going to be one of the most unique independents, you know, as a facility in Western New York because of the size that you have and how you're going to use the facility. But you brought your fleet work here to keep it going, to start it up.
Yep, exactly. We needed a place in this vicinity, and we couldn't find anything that really suited what we liked. This was a little bit bigger and a little bit more front-end space than we needed, but it fit the bill. So we jumped on it.
So your fleet was close by, which is, I get it.
Yep.
So the fleet you're doing business with, so it makes sense, huh?
Yep.
Draw a circle around it, dot the map. Found the place.
That's what it was. It was weeks of just driving around town, Henry and I looking at buildings, talking to people, and there wasn't a lot out there. It was in the middle of COVID, and this place just stood out.
Can't wait to go check it out. Let's go look at a clean place.
So this is our parts room here at this store where all of our incoming and returns sit. We try to keep it very clean and organized so we can find stuff. We sort them all by job. We put little post-its on there when that order is complete and ready to go. So that way the guys aren't taking cars apart until all the parts are ready to go. But you can see we keep it stocked with our Kimball Midwest hardware, wire, everything we might need to get the job done in a timely manner.
Clean and organized. I don't see any dust bunnies anywhere. You guys must have...
We have dust trolls, so they just
very good.
The dust bunnies.
Dust trolls are important. Yeah. Okay, let's get a really cool shot. It's a four-bay operation, right, Jeff? And this is, again, mostly fleet work.
Correct.
So was there anything in here when you leased the place? Were there any lifts?
Previously, there was two lifts in here, but that was about it. It was the center two post here, as well as the alignment rack.
All right.
No alignment machine. So some of the equipment outfit that we did in here since then was we have two new AC machines, brand new Hunter aligner, as well as a brand new Hunter tire machine and balancer, parts racks. Two more lifts in addition to the other two went in here as well to make it so that we can operate with 100% of the space. A big reason for us being so clean is because if we're clean, organized, we're not running around looking for various parts. Where's my ratchet? Where's my tools? What am I looking for? It's here it is. I can get the job done. Move on to the next one. It's all about efficiency, productivity, and minimizing walking distance between stuff.
It is not hard to get your technicians to clean up and organize and start the next job without a mess around them.
Correct. So the whole theory is as you're going, again, if you're making a mess, you clean up, move on to the next job. That way you're not finishing a job at the end of the day, you're cleaning up for 45 minutes. Also, too, if you think about that, you do a brake job and there's all the brake dust on the ground, you walked all over the shop, you've now just traced that brake dust all throughout the shop and made your cleanup that more significant.
So what's the discipline? Are there brooms?
So if we come down over here, all throughout the shop, there are trash cans scattered all throughout so that at any given time, someone can throw their trash away and not have to walk too far to remove their debris. We have a couple brooms over here with the squeegee. At the end of the week and at the end of the day, if it's been a heavy day of use, we do spray the bay down, clean it down. This location does have an automated floor scrubber coming on the way just to kind of help alleviate with the actual washing of the floor. The sweeping is one part of it, but washing is definitely another part of it.
Yep.
We have all of our scrap is picked up on a weekly basis. So again, it just minimizes the debris. All of our tires are picked up on a monthly basis. Again, minimizes on the debris. Anything that is in the shop is utilized. If it's not utilized, we get rid of it. What we have here is necessary.
Jeff has a specialty shop that does Jeep uplifts, right?
Correct.
And that's in Elma, New York. And you have a location in Lockport?
We have a Lockport, Elma, Eggertsville, Buffalo, and Williamsville.
And Buffalo here, there will be two here.
Correct, yep.
Annexed. And what I think is so interesting, and we've discussed on the show early, you know, previous episodes, is how, and in your idea, and we're going to walk across the street, we want to show you this annex, you can build work overflow. And you were lucky enough to find a place directly across the street, 50 yards, and you have your second place This operation, I believe you were telling me, will support what's going on over there, right?
Correct. We're going to outgrow these four bays very quickly. So we were fortunate. Someone moved out across the street. We jumped on it. We have opportunity for another six bays across the street. Very limited parking across the street. But we have over 100 spots on this facility, so we can move right across. Perfect. And make it work.
So we're gonna end it here. We'll pick it up in the annex. So here is the other four that could be six bays.
Correct. Three that could be six.
Oh, three that could be six. Wow, is this bright, Jeff? This is bright. This is beautiful. It's amazing what you have when you have nothing in it. You can see the potential. I see very much similar in and out parts racks here. Is that what they're going to be used for?
Correct. Yeah. The other building across the street, we had one of these shelves. Here we went with three, because we do overflow that one quite a bit. So this will give us a little bit of room to grow.
It's smart. And then you have a logistics of when you order parts, that your parts people know where the stuff goes, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so this first rack will be all incoming and outgoing parts. The top two racks are all incoming. Anything on the bottom rack will be returns. Drivers are very much aware of that. That's uniform across all of our locations, so yeah. There's no unknown on that. Second shelf and third shelf will all be stuff that we stock. So yeah. The second shelf will probably be like oil filters, different type of filters or anything that we stock from Napa. And then the third rack is going to be our miscellaneous equipment that we have.
Excellent. So brand new racks, brand new lifts. Doesn't look like you've ever used them.
Nope. Yeah, they're ready to go. We're waiting on a license from the state to pull the trigger and turn this on.
Got it. Yeah, it's amazing how much our government's involved in everything that we do. And it sure looks to me that how many more lifts can you put over here? Another three
if we condense some of the shelves.
Okay,
go with a drive-on over here. We may go with another couple two posts.
Yeah.
So one of our thoughts that we had was, because we are directly across the street, is that we could use this as straight production. So anything that maximizes our efficiency over here, that's what we could use it for. And then we'll sublet maybe tires and alignments to across the street, because an alignment rack is a big machine.
Yeah.
It is kind of heavy. You can't get the same kind of production
right. You
can out of a two-post with it. So they could do the bigger repairs, do the tire rods, and then just ship it across the street and have the retail side of this business handle that for
them. So if a brake job comes in, it would probably go over here.
Well, this will all be fleet. So there'll be no residential.
Oh, that's right.
Retail.
This is going to be your fleet operation.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow. If retail needs an overflow,
yeah, you're going to do it.
We
here.
Have space. We will, of course, bring
absolutely
it over
do
and
it
vice
here.
Versa.
As you say, it depends on your workflow.
Correct.
And you've also we're lucky enough that in this lease space there were some offices, and this is where your corporate headquarters offices are.
Correct.
Let's go check that out.
So this will be the quote-unquote service writer area for the fleet side of things.
All right.
We've got computers coming any day now to get this set up, and this is will be like a typical service writer area where they can do all the quoting and calling and writing and such.
Henry, this looks like your office.
This is where I spend a vast portion of our time.
Patrick Liencioni, a great author, has written some incredible books on teams and leadership.
Yep, so our managers don't know it yet, but they are going to be required to read two chapters a month.
We're actually starting an internal book club based upon some of the mentorship groups that we're in. A lot of them have found great success with that. So if we're not reading, we're not leading.
I love it. You guys remember the Transformers group, I could tell. It's just that
that's where it's from.
How that culture works.
Oh, yes.
Great. What else we got going here? Let's look.
Further up, we have a break room. This is where the fleet side this is what they'll utilize, so they don't have to walk across the street. They have their own bathrooms, their own everything. And then kind of going up front here, we have a miniaturized version of what we have across the street. So another conference table in here. This can seat six people. We kind of been using this really heavily for training. So when new people come in, we can actually cast everything to the TV, go through one-on-one our shop flow, all of our programs that we use. It's not in the busy environment of a shop, so they're actually able to absorb that information versus being constantly interrupted in the middle of that.
Are you the person doing the training?
No, I don't do all of the training. Typically speaking, I do a day or two of hands-on with them like this, and then I do turn them over to, we're lucky enough to be at the size where we can support an area manager,
right.
And the area manager will handle any service advisor or manager training.
And that would be Nick.
That would be Nick.
Great, cool. And then you have a place.
Correct, yep.
You mind showing us?
Yep.
This is
very
my office.
Humble, very humble office here,
yep.
I would have to say.
Still under construction.
Okay, nice.
But it's set up enough to get some work done.
Yeah.
Nothing special, a couple desks, and we do stuff here.
Love them big monitors. I saw them at Elmo once, those big widescreen monitors.
They're worth every penny.
Yeah. They're worth every penny.
We find we get a lot more work done with those widescreens like that.
That's cool.
It's, you know, multiple people run dual screen or triple screen monitors. By the time you buy three monitors with the special stand, with all the wires being ran underneath the desk, one monitor, they're like $500 to $600, call it a day. You're done.
This was a great tour. It's great to see inside all the businesses every week that we do on Aftermarket Weekly. You know, sometimes you look at spaces and you say, what are we going to use that for? Did you come over here and say, what are we going to use this for? And all of a sudden, you're using it?
Exactly, Aram. That's how it is. Even across the street in the Blue Building, when we saw that, we said, what are we going to do with this space? A month or two later, we kind of had our offices in there. A month later, the accountant's got her office in there. Another month later, her assistant's got her office in there. Another month later, the area manager has it. So we got kicked out. That's right around the time this showed up. Again, what do we do with all the space?
Yeah.
It's full again.
Yeah.
So you just got to take that leap sometimes and take the space. You'll make it work.
Well, you're a growing company. It seems to be an interesting trend that many strong independents are looking for shop 2, 3, and 4. And it looks like, including this place, the Annex, is your sixth. What's on the horizon for Scruggs?
Yeah.
I know you'd have to kill me if you tell me.
Right.
I understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, thank you so much for inviting us into your place. This was an extended tour, if you will. And I had a chance to be here in a field trip. Thank you so much, Henry, for setting this up for us and all that you guys are doing. They're in an independent group here in town. You're a member of Napa BDG. Mm-hmm. It was good to be here. Thank you all for being here, to Jeff Scruggs and Henry Rose.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.